County Hospital District. Please stand, we'll do the invocation.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this afternoon, each one of us, one by one. We pray your individual blessings upon us and this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now the pledges. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one, indivisible.
Yes.
Robert Hudson.
Not here.
Tanya Peacock.
Not here.
Kelly Inman.
Not here.
Charles Shirley.
I'm here.
Jackie Williams, present. Jason Walker.
Present.
Bob Bagley.
All righty, we got four. Just made a quorum. Any public comments, Donna? All righty. Special recognition.
Yes, good afternoon. We've got a lot. We've got a lot of plaques and big stack today, so a lot of people to recognize, which is great. Hope you guys are doing well. Summertime, so we're excited for this board meeting. We've got good recognition today. So this first case is going to be a BLS crew that was recognized by an MICU Medic 34 for their knowledge and the action and ultimately the clinical care they provided. So I'll read part of that nomination. It says, Medic 34 was dispatched to a Priority 3 Fall T6 BLS after Ambulance 93 requested an MICU. The call notes from Ambulance 93's request indicated that they had a patient who was hypotensive, low blood pressure, and hypoxic, low oxygen saturation. Earlier call notes indicated a female patient who had fallen to the ground who had a recent surgery. While en route, Ambulance 93 provided a radio report to Medic 34, and the report provided us with all the important information we needed to formulate a game plan prior to our arrival. After the radio report, we directed Ambulance 93 to complete all the steps of MOVES. MOVES is an acronym that we use to prepare the patient for transport as their vital signs start to deteriorate. So they started working on that care prior to Medic 34's arrival. Upon arrival to the scene, we entered Ambulance 93's unit to find the patient with full monitoring equipment attached, blood pressure, SpO2, end-tidal CO2, 3-lead and 12-lead. Defibrillator pads were applied, both in the anterior and posterior positions, oxygen being administered via nasal cannula and non-rebreather, and the patient was sitting completely upright. So they did all the things very good before Medic 34 got there. Ambulance 93's handoff report given to Medic 34 was very efficient, including all the information I wanted to hear about the patient's condition. Upon Ambulance 93's initial contact and her change in condition that resulted in needing an MICU. Their report also included notification that all the information for the patient had already been transmitted to Medic 34. So you can send information from one iPad to the other so you can have some information on your chart prior to their arrival. After the report was given, I began delegating tasks to all the crew members, including Ambulance 93's crew, so they could help fully complete the MOVES implementation. Both Angel and Paige were eager to help when asked so that they could assist to make sure that they could help take care of the patient from start to finish. The crew was also asked to send a summary of their handoff report that they gave us because I knew I wouldn't remember and I wanted to have my mind refreshed prior to transport, as taking care of the patient was my top priority. I later noted that they had already included that summary in the narrative section of the PCR prior to transferring it to Medic 34. So this is a BLS crew who was on scene. The patient became ill. They requested a higher level of care. The higher level of care showed up and thought, and this crew really crushed it. They did a great job taking care of the patient, exceeded expectations. So we'd like to recognize Paige and Angel for their great care on Ambulance 93 and for Employee of the Month. Yeah, you can come either way.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Paige. And then we'll stand under here, and we'll take a picture.
Just a little bit forward so there's no glare. All right, perfect. One, two, three.
Excellent. Congratulations. Thank you. They actually both just got off probation, too, so they've just been here just over 6 months. So they did a great job.
Wow, that's great.
And then next, for Employee of the Month, Chief Davenport was nominated by Kelsey Parker in her short nomination. As the core value of excellence was displayed, my partner and I recently had a call where there were multiple incidents of interpersonal friction among the nursing staff and our crew. And we finished the call feeling a little bit frustrated. We felt that we needed to inform our district chief of the situation and felt very comfortable being able to communicate in a genuine way with Chief Davenport. The nurse made complaints, and rather than accepting the complaints at face value, he immediately stepped in to investigate, which then he presented to upper management. His support that he has shown, not only for us, but for all his crews under his management, has always been outstanding. He has continuously demonstrated exceptional leadership and his unwavering support not only protected my partners and my intentions, but also boosted our morale and confidence during a distressing time. You can always depend on Chief Davenport to hold us to his word and act honorable. He sets a benchmark for how leaders should protect, validate, and advocate for their crews. His ability to handle conflict and his deep commitment to his crews deserves formal recognition organization-wide. Thank you, Chief Davenport, for your leadership and support for your crews. Congratulations, sir. All right, next we have years of service, and I'll invite up the rest of the team because we have probably six awards, maybe more.
Our first is a 5-year service award for Elizabeth Perrone in our Public Health Department. Elizabeth. And for 10 years, we have Ashley Peachy, Materials Management.
Ashley has two plaques. She also has a 10-year award for Miss Ashley Peachtree, and she said she would like to accept both if she could. The 15-year award is for Emily Fitzgerald, our manager for HR. She passed that mark just a couple of days ago. A couple of things I want to say about Ashley, about Emily. I have some things to say about Ashley, too, but I won't. Emily started out here when she got out of college. She was a scheduler for EMS. And, you know, that's a tough job. But it was a great job for her because that allowed her to build a bridge with the medics. And because of that, she's been, for the last several years, an outstanding manager for HR. And, she, you know, you never know when you start somewhere how far you can go. So we really appreciate her, and we appreciate her 15 years of service. I have one more 15-year service plaque, and this is for Brett Allen, so I have to say nice things about him, too. No, when I got here, Brett was one of the people that was, he was a stable guy in Iraq, and I don't know why he was, because the financials were so messed up, it took him 3 years to try to untangle them. But he hung in there, and he did it, and he's been a real pillar and a real support for us, and we appreciate 15 years of hard work.
And so we have two more awards here. So Elizabeth Bedere, who works in accounts payable, is also marking her 15th anniversary. I believe she's here. And then, you know, we don't run across that many of these, but a 20-year service for Trina Brinkman in EMS billing.
All righty. Well, very good. Congratulations to everybody. All right. Monthly reports. Let's start with Mr. Rainey.
Okay, briefly. For the record, we'll note that executive staff met with each department to review their personnel potential budget for next year, their operating budget, and their capital budgets. We're still going through that process. We met with all parties involved in or affected by our accounts payable process. Myself and Christian Ford, our project manager, we interviewed people, got all the comments together, and we're sharing the comments with Mr. Allen and Ms. Willoughby to see if we can look at processes that will help us improve our accounts payable processes, and then we'll work forward to try to continue improving our procurement processes. We also, I'm very excited to say, command staff and executive staff met with an AI consultant for guidance how to safely step further into the world of AI. We've been very conservative because we didn't want to have any interruptions in our computer systems or any break-ins, and we could certainly get that with AI. We've only used AI inside the computer systems that we've purchased, like our billing software, our accounting software, that sort of thing. But we are going to need to use AI in the future, and so we've met with a team that are on buy board, so they're the real deal. They've got good experience in EMS and call centers for EMS in the Northeast. And they basically, in an introductory meeting, said, what we need to do is we need to spend time putting our guidance and our directives and our plan for how we're going to move forward and conduct AI first. Train people in that, and then we can, at the probably year two, start doing AI. And I think that makes a lot of sense. They said that when we get all of our policies and procedures together for how we're going to go about conducting and monitoring AI, the executives will need to have some training. And he said they usually have we give them an hour training, but they only have the attention span for 45 minutes, and so that's about as much as they can take. The managers, they can take 4 hours, and the employees can take 8 hours. So I'm not sure what that says about the executives.
What areas do you see yourself using it the most, or are you restricting it to certain areas of the business?
Well, I think that we will probably use it in all areas, but I think the first places where we're going to use it is with our CAD and our call centers. Matter of fact, we're looking at some AI software for next year in the budget, and we decided to back off that and actually get our plans and our procedures together before we move forward and jump off into AI world. So for the next 90 days, we'll complete the 2027 fiscal budget. We've been very focused. We'll continue to be very focused on staffing and deployment models for 2027. I think we're going to have a good plan for you guys. Complete the transition from our legacy financial software to our new financial software. That's been a big job, and it'll continue for a while. And then also streamlining and simplifying our procurements and account payable system. So that's my report. Any questions? Thank you much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So when you look through the EMS report, you'll notice May was a busy month for us, just in general. Call volume higher than last May. Transports just under 5,000, where most months were around 4,400 to 4,600. We were at 4,800 for May, which made for a busy month, which keeps Chief Seek and the rest of the team busy trying to focus on hiring, which is what we're doing now and continuing to do, and getting trucks in service as quickly as we can when we get them from Frazier and working with just all the departments in EMS to make sure that we can keep up with growth. We've been planning for a year for what FIFA could do, what the impact would be for the region. For the most part, the major changes that we've implemented, we wanted to make sure that we didn't get stuck in Houston in the Med Center, specifically the way that they have road closures down there. So we implemented a few things. If you're going to leave the county, ideally we want to take patients where they want to go, but we also don't want to get an ambulance stuck and gone for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. So we just want to make sure that we consult with the district chief before we leave the county. We work with the hospitals on our turnaround times, that if we can directly offload patients into the lobby of the emergency department so that we can get out a little bit faster, as long as the patient condition warranted that, we would do so. And just in general, we've been able to staff 2 extra peak trucks during game days that are in Houston, just to give us some support from an ambulance standpoint in case we've seen some spikes in call volume. So far, so good. Knock on wood, it's been a good event. I think just in general, social media, people coming to the United States and having a good time, and Houston being a part of that's been pretty good to see. For the rest of the report, Dr. Patrick and the rest of EMS leadership had the chance to meet with Sheriff Doolittle, just make that connection, talk about some things going on in his operation, some things going on in our operation, and our opportunity to partner for our collective community. So that was a good meeting. We'll work on finalizing our budget, and we look forward to meeting with you guys in July and presenting what we think we will need going into next fiscal year. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you.
Good afternoon. I want to update you on the property on Kennedy Street, Station 13. When the survey came in, there was an alley on the survey going through the middle of the building, which has been consistent with a lot of recent sales in the Willis area. And so the owner is going to the city to have that alley abandoned. That usually takes about 3 months, so closing has been pushed back to late September, early October. And with that, they elected to let us out of paying lease. Per the contract, we would be paying lease as soon as we closed on the property. But since we were ready to close and it was something that had not been completed from their side, they are no longer charging us lease in the building. 48 is moving along nicely, still expected to be on time despite rain delays. The radio big project that they've been working on for years is the VHF replacement of our current radio infrastructure. All that equipment is being staged in San Antonio and making sure everything works before we bring it here, and so that we can do the dance of how that exchange is going to go and practice that before we bring it here and do it. The good news for open POs is $2.1 million of that $2.4 million has been receipted now, so our financials will look more realistic than they do when they don't have that included. IT and the CAD team have been working with a vendor to put some new equipment on the CAD to help us get software upgrades. They're important for the GIS and mapping and internal software security. They've also, the EMS and CAD group have been working together on a new project that was detailed in Chief Seek's report, which is included in the EMS report, helping with deployment over the next few years. Materials management is updating trucks with changes presented at Q2CE, and stations are completed with changes as of this week, with the exception of the soft collars. They're changing over to soft cervical collars, and those are on back order and have been for a while. Those come from the manufacturer Medline, and we have a little bit of concern, although we haven't been affected at this point, that back order may stretch longer, because on June 11th, they had a large-scale warehouse fire in California that they lost all the product that was there out in Tracy. And like I said, we haven't been affected yet, but we still don't have a date of delivery on those collars, so we don't know if that's going to affect it or not. For public health, the report is there. We had a slight increase in patients for clinic for immunizations, up to 49 in May, 51 patients for STIs, which was also an increase, with 9 positives that came out of that. The tuberculosis team worked closely with the region this month to get a patient into the Texas Center for Infectious Disease, which is a hospital outside of San Antonio that specializes in TB and critically ill complex patients, and this gentleman certainly did meet that category. We're happy that he was able to get there last Thursday. They collaborated because his partner was adamant that he needed to be there with them, and so between the region and Heartland, which is the consulting people for TB, they came up with some money to be able to house him there in an apartment for a hotel for 2 weeks so that the gentleman would go and get his treatment. He'll be there probably 6 months.
What do you do if they move out of the area?
Pardon me?
What do you do if the ones under treatment move out of the area?
When they're in our treatment and they move out of the area, the case is referred to the new area they've moved to. And so this one, he's in an inpatient hospital. But in general, when they move out of the area, if they tell us and they're just not lost to service, and we're unable to track them, but we get patients that are transferred here from Michigan, from other states, or Harris County, and we send all the records and tell them where they are in their case and do a handoff, or they do a handoff to us when that occurs. If they're gone less than 30 days, they remain our case. And for Epi, the big thing that's been going on in Epi, as always, is lots of cases to review and study and determine whether they are actual case or not a case. But something a little different is the Ebola patients we've been monitoring. We've had some that met exposure category and had to be monitored for 21 days, and so that's ongoing right now.
How many Ebola patients have we had?
Not patients with Ebola, patients that we're monitoring for symptoms to see if they become positive for Ebola. And I believe that number is 5. I didn't highlight it. 5. They're all doing well.
Just to follow up on going back a couple of steps from Melissa, she talked about the VHF transition of lines from the old equipment to the new equipment and the $2.4 million. That was a contract that we had with the Montgomery County Fire Chiefs Association. It was a 16-year contract. It ran out this last year. We negotiated a new contract, and it'll be 16 years going forward. So that's a long life of a contract, 30-something years.
So what do you do?
For which we receive payments to pay for that equipment over those 16 years.
What do you do during that interim period by the time when it runs out and while you're negotiating the next one?
We've already negotiated it. We've already gotten the equipment. Now what we're doing, what she was talking about, is we got to do this tricky dance where we keep the old equipment up and operational until we can replace and balance the new equipment. And you probably know more about that than anybody in the room.
So, while changing out 2 shelters.
Yeah, so that's requiring a lot of thinking, a lot of planning. They're practicing the dance at a warehouse in San Antonio where the equipment is, and then they'll bring it out here and put it up.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Louise will be presenting for Addie today. She's going to new college orientation with her daughter.
Oh, boy.
She's excited. Good afternoon. All right, so a couple of highlights for the month of May. The total application volume was 169. 85 of those applications were received via Laserfish. The number of active clients totaled 299 for the month of May, almost identical to the previous month. Outreach activities were conducted on 3 separate dates in May. 7 individuals were assisted with the application process, and all 7 individuals were approved for benefits. Those were the highlights. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to address those.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, sir. I had turned the page, I apologize. So my report is brief, and you've actually gotten a pretty good preview of it with some of the things that Randy mentioned earlier. primarily accounting and procurement have been working on budget. And so over the last few weeks, we've gone through in detail with all of the departments their budgets, and that's in preparation to move forward and then meet with all of you guys in July. And of course, working through software and process improvements with regard to the procurement to payment cycle. And so that's really what's taking up the majority of the time right now. And then billing, they continue to do well, continue to tweak software. They've got a much better window into what's going on than they used to have. Collections for the month were $2,391,000. That is less than last year. The same month was $2,698,000. The primary reason for that is we started a big catch-up bubble about this time last year. We had gotten pretty behind with the old software, and then as the new software came on and they were able to improve and start getting things out, the money started coming in. And so that's really the main difference that you see between those 2 months year over year. Days in AR at the end of the month were 62, and as you can see last year they were 107.
Yeah, I got a quick question. Just remind everybody on the dates for the hearings next month, budget hearings. Probably putting you on the spot. I probably should ask you before the meeting.
The 21st and 22nd. Okay. Thank you.
Jackie?
Consider an act on appointment of Donna Daniel and Colleen Jurasek, employees of the district, as the custodian of record and agents to the board secretary to perform the duties related to the conduct of the election and the maintenance of records of the election on November 3rd, 2026, under the Texas Election Code. I'll make a motion that we approve this.
Second.
And Bob seconds. Do we have any comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Passes.
Number nine, consider an act on approval of the calendar for the November 3rd, 2026 election. Make a motion that we accept that.
Second.
Bob seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Passes.
Number 10. Consider an act on proposed order for Montgomery County Hospital District Board of Directors election on November 3rd, 2026 for the position of Director Precinct 3, Director Precinct 4, and Director at Large Position 2. Make a motion that we accept this.
Second.
We've got a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Passes.
Consider an act on authorizing the district staff to negotiate and execute a contract with the elections administrator, Susie Harvey, for administration of the November 3rd, 2026 election. Make a motion that we do this.
Second.
Bob seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Passes.
And then number 12.
Number 12.
Elections joint agreement. Consider an act on authorizing the district staff to negotiate and execute an agreement for a joint election with any and all appropriate governmental bodies who may hold an election concurrent with the district's November 3rd, 2026 election. I make a motion that we accept this.
Second.
Bob seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. All righty. Mr. 13, Mr. Walker.
I'd like to consider an act on sealed bid, sale and removal of surplus for the building located at 809 West Saman Street in Conroe, Texas.
Second.
Bob seconds. Any comments?
This was approved as a surplus. The portion of the house that can be moved was approved for surplus last month. Thought it was important to bring back that as per our purchasing policy, Chapter 12, that there are a couple of ways we can do that, sealed bid being the one that I selected and spoke about in the last meeting, but it could also be sold through a public auction. So we think sealed bid is the way to go for this. And so just wanted to make sure that that was, everybody was on the same page.
Okay, very good. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. All righty, number 14, Bob.
Consider an act on purchase of 8 Ram 5500 chassis to be charged against FY27 budget and completed in FY28.
Second. Jackie seconds.
Just a couple comments, if I could.
Right,
this has become a historical and repeatable line item for us in June. In order for us to continue to replace our ambulance fleet, we have to get in line with Fraser, and the order bank opens at a very finite time for us. So this is allowing us to get in line to purchase these, with the only caveat this year is the pricing that we got that is listed is FY20 or 2026 model pricing. So we've asked you just to give us a 10% that price is listed, because 2027 model we know is going to be higher than the price that we've got today. So we're trying to build that in so that we can make this purchase.
May not be that high, but
maybe, yeah, yes, not to exceed.
Hopefully,
right.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
You're estimating that, but we're not sure, right?
Correct, correct. Okay. It's our best guess based on what we've got from the dealership.
Yeah, we've gone a long way from the 2500s, 3500s, to 4500s.
And we have.
5500s.
Correct.
Next thing's a Freightliner.
We tried. I think we kind of tried that.
It
a little bit. I don't know if it worked that good.
Are the deliveries pretty much holding?
Fraser, we were nervous. We had a lot of ambulances to replace with Fraser, and we made the switch to Horton. And going back to Fraser, they've hit their number. We've been very fortunate and pleased with what Fraser's been able to do from a timeline standpoint for us. Probably saved the fleet, really. So we've been happy, and you'll see this in the capital line item when we do budget in July.
Right. And we've been selling more of them, surplus, that are box included, right?
We've tried all kinds of things. We've given some to some other government agencies. We've had Fraser buy them back and sell them on their line. We've sold them via auction, and the prices are varying every single time, and no real way has been a good way, but we do have to get rid of them somehow. So we continue to do that, yes, sir.
Any other comments? All righty, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. Number 15, consider an act on the health care assistance program claims from non-Medicaid 1115 waiver providers. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. Number 16, consider an act on the ratification of the voluntary contributions for uncompensated care to the Medicaid 1115 waiver program of the healthcare assistance program claims. Do I have a second? Bob seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. Number 17, Mr. Allen.
Yes, sir. So the board does have a financial report before it. And looking at it, just high points, cash investments at the end of May, $69,859,000. Which is $1,029,000 more than a year ago. Income statement, year to date, it's looking very favorable at the moment, with tax revenue at 98.9% of the total budget. EMS net revenue is a little bit behind what we would expect. It's 62.2% of the total budget. Billable trips per day are off by about 2 or 1.2%. And then also our charity care is running a little bit higher than we had anticipated. I think part of that is kind of flushing through what was going on last year as we changed how we bill. And so I think it's actually doing pretty well. Other revenue is positive to budget. All of the expenses are actually positive to budget, primarily due to timing. Overall, revenue over expenses for the month were negative $2.9 million. That's to be expected at this time of the year because tax revenue is largely collected already. Year to date, we're at positive $15.6 million. We'll see that trend towards budget as we proceed through the next few months. Yes, sir. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Number 18, Mr. Walker.
Consider and approve the payment of the Montgomery County Appraisal District quarterly invoice in the amount of $119,000.
I think we're at 18.
Number 18. I'm sorry.
We're doing a budget amendment.
Consider and act upon recommendation for amendments to the budget for fiscal year ending September 30th of 2026.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Jackie seconds. You want to make any comments on it?
I can kind of explain what's happening here. So we are recognizing the beginning of two new grants that were awarded. These are some of our core grants. So the City Readiness Initiative and the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Grant. Both of these require match, so that means expenses are a little bit greater than revenue. So revenue increases $101,760. Expenses increase $111,881. So that's the two grants. And then there's also recognition of the addition of a third deputy chief position. We had gone with two for several years. For purposes to better manage day-to-day operations, adding a chief, but no impact to the budget. We're already running under budget. There's no point in increasing the budget. It will absorb.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. All righty. Number 19, Mr. Walker.
There we go. I was trying to get this taken care of. Consider and approve the payment of the Montgomery County Appraisal District quarterly invoice in the amount of $119,096.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Jackie seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes. Speaking on behalf of MCAT, we appreciate it.
Speaking on behalf of the taxpayers, I don't appreciate it. You know, if we weren't paying the illegal property taxes, we wouldn't have to worry about that.
I was just a joke. I'm sorry. All right, number 20, Mr. Walker.
Consider and ratify the payment of the Impact Fleet monthly invoice for fuel charges for the month of May of 2026 in the amount of $120,249.78.
Do we have a second? Bob seconds.
How did that compare to last month?
Both months are over budget. I think last month was about $115,000, if I recall correctly. We have approximately, I think, 90, I wrote this down, 90 to 98,000 budgeted each month. So we're significantly over. Anticipate we'll probably exceed budget by the end of the year. You know, at the end of the year, we'll require some to shift around in the budget a bit.
Is it due to fuel prices or more calls?
It's actually due to fuel prices is the primary reason. We do have variance in terms of less than expected usage in terms of gallons, but the majority of it is a result of the price differential. Those actually kind of compete against each other.
All in favor, say aye. All opposed? Passes. Number 21, Mr. Walker.
Consider an act upon payment of district invoices in the amount of $3,180,736.64.
Second.
Jackie seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. Number 22, Mr. Walker again.
Consider an act on salvage and surplus.
Do we have a second? Any comments? I guess not. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All righty. Jackie, number 23. Secretary.
Yep. Make a motion that we accept the minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
For from the May 26 meeting.
All righty. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes. All righty. The time is 4:40. We're going into executive session, convene into executive session as authorized by the Texas Open Meetings Act to deliberate in closed session on the following matter authorized in the Texas Open Meetings Act in regards to section 551 of the Texan Government Code to deliberate appointment and evaluation, reassessment duties of public officer, employee, general counsel for MCHD. For right now, we're sit adjourned.
Time? Did you do a time?
Time, sorry. At 4:40.